I don't know if you noticed the tables in the back. There's some balloons that are hanging, extending up from the back. We have several tables, and we're going to talk more about that as we go through this service today. But I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 20, and just kind of keep your finger right in that little slot right there. As we go through, we're going to go through the Word today, and we're going to go through a couple of chapters that typically, if you're a student of God's Word, and you get to some of these chapters that are kind of like the begat chapters, you know what I'm talking about, where all these weird names of people that then begat another weird name and that begat another weird name that you can't pronounce. And you kind of just tend to kind of gloss over those chapters. How many know what I'm talking about? Ever done that? I know I do a lot. And I think, well, why is that there? Why do we need to know who begat who, names we don't recognize and can't pronounce, that were thousands of years ago? But I want you to know that everything in the Bible is there for a reason. Everything is there for a purpose. And you can even get, you can even learn some things about the begats if you studied who these people are, because they show up in other parts of the Bible too. So they're not just strange names that you can't pronounce, but they're significant people that many times were significant in fulfilling prophecy and doing great works and great exploits for the kingdom of God. And so as we look at the passages here today, we're going to be in similar territory. It's not necessarily some begats that are taking place here, but it is a section of Scripture that is very repetitive, and the idea being that in Joshua chapter 20, there's this group called the Levites that were part of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they were assigned to be the priests, the pastors, the shepherds, the leaders, the spiritual leaders of the kingdom of Israel or the nation of Israel. And so as part of that, they weren't given territories like the rest of the 11 tribes were. They were given, actually, the rest of the tribes were given chunks of land while the Levites were not. And so in chapter 20 of Joshua, there was some assigned cities that were as part of the structure of what was going on in this newly formed nation of Israel called sanctuary cities, cities of refuge. And so you see that in Joshua chapter 20, and it's kind of interesting because you see, the construction, the genesis of this new nation and God creating some order and structure in it. And these sanctuary cities were actually designed, if you read Joshua chapter 20, was designed for people that would be that accidentally killed somebody, accidentally murdered somebody. They didn't mean to. It was an accident. There were some that were intentional, but for those that were unintentional, in fact, they gave examples like if you were doing construction and you had a brick and there was someone at the bottom of this wall that you were building, and you accidentally, the brick slipped out of your hand, the stone slipped out of your hand, and it hit the person on the head and they died. I mean, you didn't do that on purpose. And so you would be able to run to these cities, these sanctuary cities, and you would be able to have sanctuary there and refuge there against any retribution until the assembly gathered together and heard the case. Kind of not unlike what we have in our nation today, where you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. So that was the start of it back then, that idea started back in Joshua chapter 20. And then in Joshua chapter 21, that's where it gets really repetitive, and you tend to kind of gloss over chapter 21, because what you have is the Levites coming up to Joshua and saying, hey, all the rest of the tribes were given lands, and if you remember, Moses told us in Numbers back earlier, what we know as Numbers, that God wanted to assign us cities to be able to live in. And so the Levites were given cities to live in. And the cities were, there were 48 cities. If you read the chapter 21 of Joshua, it's a little bit tedious. It is very repetitive. But the idea is that there's 48 cities that the Levites were assigned to. And they were spread out throughout the nation, throughout all the different tribes. They were spread out in such a way where even though Jerusalem was the main hub and headquarters of the nation of Israel, like the holy capital, you know, and even today it is, and back then it was, because of the way that these Levites were assigned particular cities, they were no more than a day away, people were no more than a day away from going to these cities where ministry was taking place. If you want to kind of figure out what these cities were all about, they just weren't cities, but they were actually places where ministry was taking place, because the Levites were there in these particular assigned 48 cities, and those became the hubs of ministry in that particular region. So anybody that lived on the outskirts of it was no more than about a day away from a particular place where they can go and interact and be ministered to by the Levites, by the pastors, by the shepherds of that particular community. And one more thing about it, if you read Joshua chapter 21, is that each of those cities had pasture lands. And that's what really sticks out to me more than anything, is those three things. Is you've got sanctuary cities, and you've got Levites, priests, or shepherds, however you want to call it, pastors, and then you have pasture lands. And so if you read through that portion of Scripture, I tend to kind of gloss over things like that, because I think, what does that have to do with us here in 2021? But the Holy Spirit brought me to this week to really expand and open up for us this morning to say, okay, this is what took place thousands of years ago have to do with us today in the modern day church in 2021. Are you kind of ready to hear what this is all about this morning? If you are, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. If you're not, then just keep quiet, because you're here anyway. You might as well just endure, okay? What we saw in Joshua 20:21 was actually a template of the modern day church. Now, we know the church being birthed in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell on all of the people waiting in the upper room, and they began to speak in unknown tongues, and they began to minister, actually, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we saw the church birthed and exploded on the scene at that point. But the genesis of it, the template of it, actually took place right here in Joshua chapter 20 and 21. And so I want us to look at Joshua 21, verses 2 and 3, as it kind of sets up a little bit here of what I'm talking about. All right? So it says, the Lord commanded through Moses, again, back in the book of Numbers, the Lord commanded through Moses, this is the Levites talking to the leaders of that day, that you give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock. So, as the Lord had commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance. Again, 48 in all, and they were allotted not only the towns, but the pasture lands. And you'll see in verse 42 of Joshua 21 that each of the towns had pasture lands surrounding it. This was true for all the towns. Every town had a pasture land connected to it. Keep that in mind. So first, if we look at in Joshua chapter 20, we see that these sanctuary cities were created. And that's what I want you to write down. If you're taking notes today, this is where we're going to start putting down our drilling down into the Scripture right now, right here. Write this down. First, God gave us sanctuary. If you're taking notes, write that down. This is the important first point of what God has done for us in the modern day church. He's given us sanctuary. If you're familiar with the story of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, The key character was the guy, the hunchback's name was Quasimodo. And he was a fairly grotesque looking person. And he ended up being, as part of this cathedral, he stayed in there for protection. He actually was in trouble at one point, and he went there for that protection. But he fell in... If you got to read the story, and I'm not going to get into it because I'm not here to preach about the Hunchback of Notre Dame, but I'm here to tell you about what happened. Was he fell in love with this beautiful woman named Esmeralda, and Esmeralda actually was got in trouble with the law, and she was actually at a place where she was getting ready to be hung for the crime that she committed. And Quasimodo was so in love with Esmeralda because she had been kind to him earlier that he saw from the cathedral. You've probably seen some of these scenes. He's swinging down from the rope of the bell tower, so to speak. And he came out and landed on this platform where she was getting ready to be hung. Somehow got her and brought her back into the cathedral. And one of the most famous scenes of that movie or that story is where he cried out from one of the windows, "Sanctuary! Sanctuary!" You see, the law was that... And it actually happened back in about the year 511, that the law became, and that the churches embraced the idea of sanctuary, where adulterers and murderers and thieves and the like, And really, it was ultimately expanded to any person who was outside of that own person's country. They were aliens and foreigners in that territory. They could come into the cathedral, into God's house for protection from persecution. If you've ever wondered why we come into a place called the sanctuary, which is where we are right now, you ever wonder where that word came from? That's it's stuck over the hundreds and hundreds of years. Over generations, we still know when we say we're coming into the sanctuary, we know that we're going to be right here in this building. We're in sanctuary right now. It's not just a building, but it's a place of being. It's a place of protection. It's a place of love. It's a place where we can come together and do life together. We're all from different places and different stations of life. But in this place, in this gathering, we can experience sanctuary. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of hate going on in the world. There's a lot of judging. There's a lot of harshness. There's a lot of unforgiveness. There's a lot of anger. There's just a lot of meanness out there. But in this place, in the four walls of this building, in this sanctuary, we can cry out, God, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for a place where we can be covered. We thank you for a place where we can be forgiven. We thank you for a place where we can be given a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth chance and over again, where we can come to this place where God resides in this sanctuary, and we know that we are not going to be judged. We're not going to be treated hatefully. We're not going to be treated harshly, but rather we're going to be forgiven. We're going to be loved. There's going to be kindness taking place here. And by the way, last Sunday, as I preached on throwing stones, and then Billy came up and we were just over here just praying and worshiping the Lord together, right here, when I got finished, we got finished praying. Remember, I handed out rocks to everybody last week, and I was so blessed and impressed and so proud of you as a congregation, because when I opened my eyes and I just looked right over this way, and Pastor Joseph actually took a picture of it, there were rocks all lined up here at the altar. And I was so proud of you guys. And it just made me just so much more aware that this is a place of love. That this is a place where we don't throw stones, but we walk in love and forgiveness and kindness with one another. And I want to thank you for that. This place, where outside we're being bombarded by the world, I want you to know that here in this gathering is a place where you can find rest. It's a place where you can find peace. It's a place where you can find strength. It's a place where you can find love. It's a place where you can find sanctuary. And it's in large part because we have the heart of Christ. And I want to commend you for it. I want to ask you also to guard it, to protect it, to nurture it, and let it be a place that, so that when people walk in that don't look like us, act like us, smell like us, or anything like that like us, that we don't judge them on the outside, but that we say, listen, you are loved here, and you are accepted here, because I'm going to be an extension of Christ to you today. I'm not going to make you do something for me to accept you. I'm going to simply accept you because Jesus loves you. I mean, think about it again. The woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, she deserved to be killed based on the law. But because of God's grace, because of Jesus' mercy, because of his kindness, because of his compassion, he said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. That's what this place is. That's who we are because we represent Christ. He never winked at the sin. He never condoned the sin. But he sure didn't kill the sinner in the process. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus is making an invitation to you and I here today. He says, come unto me. Come unto Jesus, all you who are labored in a heavy laden, weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, sanctuary for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we have judged far too harshly, and we've allowed the world to get in to the Church of Jesus Christ far too deeply, and we need to reject those things. Again, I'm never going to wink and sin at the sin. I'm never going to condone the sin, but I'm going to embrace the sinner with all my heart. And I hope that you will too. Those rocks that you laid here last week tells me that you will. And I want you to just foster that in you. You see, in our worship together, in our devotions together, in our fellowship with one another, as we do life together, Jesus gives us rest for our souls. So this church, this body of believers, it's a place of refuge. It's a sanctuary city. It's a place where we can find forgiveness and compassion and kindness. It's a place where we can find rest for our souls. It's a place where you can find encouragement if you're discouraged. It's a place where you're going to find strength when you're weak. Here you're going to find love. Here you're going to find kindness. You're going to find compassionate people whose singular purpose is to walk alongside you in your pursuit, in all of our pursuit of Christ Jesus. And we're going to do life together. And we're all going to grow in that relationship with Jesus. That's why we're here. As much as the enemy would love to create drama and division and contention in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are aware of his devices as this local body of believers. And I want to encourage you to continue to make a conscious effort to not allow division or any other sort of thing, contention, to be in this body of believers. We're doing well, but be aware of it, because the enemy would love to divide and create some sort of division that would distract us from the purposes of why we exist. And that is to grow in Christ and to tell others about Christ. And everything else is insignificant. And we lay it at the feet of Jesus. You know, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." In other words, I'm going to give my efforts to making sure that I'm going to encourage you to love one another and to do good deeds for the kingdom of God. That's my energies that I'm going to expend on you. How about let's all expend that energy on one another? Instead of the da-da-da-da-da, instead of the divisions, instead of anything else that might be right there and be an opportunity for us to speak out and to say things that are not helpful in that way. Instead, I'm going to spur you on to love and good deeds. We all must do that. And not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Ah, Fred was an encourager. Fred, I'll tell you what, one of the things that he had the spirit of Barnabas on him. Every time we turned around, Kelly and I were being encouraged by Fred and Joyce. I'm going to miss that. So some of you need to pick up the slack here, okay? And let's encourage one another. And it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. How many knows that Jesus is coming back soon? I believe it could be this year. I can't believe it could be this month. It could be before this service ends today. It's that soon. And so, as we know, and as we're very keenly aware, and our spirits are being in tune with that, then let's expend the energies that are ours today, the breath of life that he's given us, which is a gift, this day that he has made, and that we can rejoice and be glad in it, to use this gift of this day, this gift of this breath, and let's encourage one another. Let's be kind to one another. Let's spur one another on to love and good deeds, just as we've been instructed here in Hebrews chapter 10. Amen? Amen. You know, in the midst of all the chaos and the stress and the hatefulness and the judgmental attitudes in the world, I'm so thankful that God has provided for us a place of sanctuary, this city of refuge, a place of peace and strength and love. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. It's called the body of Christ. It's God's people. Folks, it's not a building. I mean, I can say we're in sanctuary, but the sanctuary, the church, is us. It's a people. And I'm so thankful for the gift of the church. I'm so thankful for the gift of you in my life. I think maybe just right now, just look at some other people and just mean it, though. Mean it. If you don't mean it, don't say it, but just say, I'm thankful for you. You're a gift to me. Go ahead and say that. Just say that to someone as you're seated there. You're a gift to me. I'm so thankful for you. You see, if we can look at each other as gifts, good. If we can look at each other as gifts and not burdens, you know, as people to cherish and not to endure. If we can enjoy loving one another and being the church and being that place of sanctuary, that's very attractive, don't you think? And people are going to be drawn to that. I'd rather come to a place where I'm loved and accepted and being spurred on to serving Jesus with all my heart, certainly repenting of all my sins and being pure before Him, but also giving of myself to Him in service and just all of us doing life together like that. I'd much rather be a group like that than coming in and being judged and being talked about and being acted towards hatefully and unkindly. Who wants to be part of that? Man, let's be kind, right? Let's keep doing what we're doing. And people are just going to be drawn to that because it's Christ in you. Amen? Amen. Here's the second thing that we look at in Joshua chapter 20 and 21. So we see that in Joshua 21 that God gave us shepherds. Write that down if you're taking notes. So first off, God gave us sanctuary. Secondly, God gave us shepherds. Now, as we said, there were 48 in all. Each city became a headquarters for ministry. It was a place where people could go to meet for ministry, but it was also a place from which ministry was launched. And so churches today are no different. And God has called pastors to shepherd and to lead congregations. Now, at the risk of being self-serving and patting myself on the back, that is not my intention at all. I rarely talk about this portion. What I try to do is just encourage the congregation, right? And to point them to Jesus. But I'm just going to say that for Pastor Joseph and for Pastor Matt and for myself, for Kelly and for our spouses, we take what we do here very seriously. And I'm not here to pat myself on the back, but I'm here to tell you how we approach ministry is this. We realize that we have a responsibility before God to lead you well. I don't have to answer to you. When it's all said and done, I have to answer to the Lord. And so I don't look at this privileged opportunity that I have, that I cherish, as I better do something right or else someone's going to be mad at me. I better, you know, walk a straight line or else I'm going to really have the leadership of this church really talk into my life. You know what keeps me sober and straight? I got to stand before the Lord one day. And as much as I respect the leadership and I do submit myself under that authority, my main authority, my primary authority is the one that I have to answer to one day where I'm going to stand before Him individually face to face. And so I am very sobered by that in the things that I do to lead you well. I've been instructed, all of us as the leaders here, the pastors of this church, Kelly and I and Joseph and Matt and their spouses, in 2 Timothy 4:2, it's telling us, as leaders, to preach the word, to be prepared in season and out of season, to correct and to rebuke and to encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, I don't do that perfectly because I'm not a perfect person, never will be. But I want you to know that I pray and that I ask the Holy Spirit what He would like to share through me. I want you to know that as I approach this responsibility, I approach it with great soberness and great care. I want you to understand that I know that souls are hanging in the balance when I preach. I want you to know that I must divide the word of God rightly because I will answer to God one day for what I say from this pulpit. Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Keep watch over yourself," which is me, "and all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," which is you all. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." See, I want you to know that Kelly and I take seriously the assignment that is placed before us today. We do keep watch over ourselves. We ask the Holy Spirit to constantly show us where we need to, where we're in need, what we need to submit to Him to, what we need to repent of. We'll never lead perfectly, but we'll always lead with our whole heart, leaning in with all of our heart. I want to just say that I cherish the privilege of shepherding this flock. And Kelly and I, it's our desire to always shepherd you well. When I correct you from this pulpit or one-on-one, when I rebuke, when I encourage, I want you to know that I do it because I love you. And I want to see you do well. I can't live your life for you. I can only point you in the right direction. And I can only point you to what God's Word says. So Kelly and I and all the pastors on staff want to see you grow in Christ and to fulfill your destinies in Him because we love the church and we love you. See, God's placed not just us here at Faith Assembly, but he's placed shepherds throughout the world to oversee his precious body. And he is and he will be faithful to continue this until Jesus returns, because Jesus promised that he's going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want you to know this. This church, this staff, this leadership that is here, Kelly and I, we are here for you, not to drive you hatefully or hurtfully or selfishly like cattle, but guide you lovingly and gently and selflessly as a shepherd does his sheep to the lush green pasture lands that God has for us. We're here to protect you from the lions and the wolves, those predators who would try to separate you out and to devour you. We read about that in 1 Peter 5:8. It's telling me again, be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That speaks to all of us. I need to make sure you guys are taken care of, but at the same time, you got to know that Satan is out there trying to devour you. He's like a roaring lion. He's trying to pull you away. He's trying to extract you from the rest of the group. You know, in nature, when that happens, you see these documentaries where these pack of lions will chase after the gazelles, and the gazelles will run a lot faster, got a lot more endurance than the lions. But if they can get one gazelle off, the gazelles are safe as long as they're in the group, but if you can get one of them off, pretty much count on it, it's not going to go well for that gazelle. So when we point out things in your life, when we see you're headed down a path of destruction, listen to me this morning. When we see things that you may not see because they're blind spots in your life, even though you may not like to hear it, and you may not even agree, what we're trying to do is to protect you. What we're trying to do is to keep you from being devoured. We're trying to bring you back into the fold and say, wait a minute, here's the place of protection. It's your choice. But please choose wisely. The relationship that we all have as shepherd and sheep is one of trust and submission. As we've all placed our trust in Jesus as the great shepherd and submitted to him, he's also given us shepherds like us here at Faith Assembly to trust and to submit to. And I can promise you this, we will always have your best interest at heart. We will never intentionally abuse your trust. We will never intentionally manipulate your submission. We just want to see you grow in Christ and to fulfill your destiny in him. That's it. We're here to facilitate that. It's just that simple. To give you a place to grow, a healthy place to grow, a place where God's presence is, where he can do the ministering and the building and the correcting and the fixing and the encouraging. And then as you grow in him, that you could walk those things out that God has for you in your life. There's no ulterior motives here. I promise you, there's no strings attached. There's no hidden agendas, which leads us to our third and final thing that I want us to look at today in our text. And that is that God gave us pasture lands. God gives us pasture lands. We're not in a desert somewhere. We're not in some remote rocky place. We're in lush, fertile, green, vegetative soil. We're in a land here in this place where we can be ministered to and be nourished all the time. As I said in Numbers 35 verses 1 through 5, it describes how all around the city, north, south, east, and west, the pasture lands would extend about 3,000 feet in each direction for their flocks. So you have a city, a sanctuary, you have leaders of the sanctuary, the shepherds, the priests, and then you have pasture lands that go out from the walls of the city into the community, into the outskirts of it. You see, what God wants for us is, and as I said earlier, the church is not a building, but it's a people. And we're going to soon go from this place to our homes. And you see, when we go, we're going to take Christ with us. And when we go, we're going to take Christ with us to our neighborhoods and to our workplaces and to our classrooms and to our places that we frequent. Because again, the church is not a building, but it's a people. And just as ministry doesn't take place solely within the four walls of this sanctuary, and not just Sundays for my preaching, but it also take place, and it should take place outside of these four walls on a regular basis. You see, God has provided for us today pasture lands. It's our homes. The pasture lands is other places where we can meet together at a coffee shop or break room of your workplace, near the quad of your school, playground, your neighborhood, just park, somewhere. He's provided for us places to go and graze upon God's words with God's people and do life together. It's a place where multiplication takes place. It's a place where others are invited from their barren and dry places, out on the outskirts, in the nether regions, in the back 40, in the places where they're struggling. And they can be invited to enjoy the lush green pastures that God has provided in your pasture land, in your homes, in your places. It's a place where encouragement takes place. It's a place where we can be refreshed and strengthened in and among God's people. Some churches call them cell groups, others home groups. At Faith, we call them life together groups, because it's in these groups that we do life together in Christ. If you're not part of a life together group today, you can join one. That's what those balloons are for. See, we have these tables set up in the back of the sanctuary, and there's probably 9 or 10 different options for you to choose from. And by the way, if you don't see an option that strikes your fancy, then see Pastor Joseph, Pastor Matt, or myself and say, I really would like to see a group that does this. And then we would say, how about facilitating that? How about making your home available? See, now I think what I just did was saying, well, I'm not saying anything then. It's going to keep my mouth shut. But you see, maybe the Lord is laying on your heart to do that particular thing, to lead that particular group, to open up your home, which is really a blessing from God. Your home is not yours. It's God's, right? Everything that we have belongs to Him, right? So maybe you take your home and, I don't know, your whatever it is that maybe the Lord's put in your heart, say, I can do this. I can provide this. Like the little boy with the loaves and the fishes. It may not be much, but whatever I have, here it is. He can take it and do some wonderful things with it. Well, Pastor, I'm not a leader. I don't know how to speak. That's all right. Just open up your home. Just facilitate conversation. Just say, I'm just going to open up my home. You guys bring a bag of chips and some dip, and we'll just sit around and talk. Can we talk? We can talk. Maybe there's one scripture. The Lord just laid this on my heart, and I'm just going to read it. And we just begin to talk about it. It doesn't have to be an hour-long Bible study. It could be just sitting around and just doing fellowship, just doing life together. Because in the organic environment, the Holy Spirit can move and start working and saying, hey, that conversation, I needed to have that conversation. It was through that interaction that I really got encouraged, that the Lord really showed me something. Someone prayed for me. Someone pointed me in the right direction. Someone told me a story about how they went through the exact same thing I'm going through today, and God was faithful to them. So guess what? He's going to be faithful to me because He's no respecter of persons. And I get together with people and revolve my life around Christ, and that's it. I promise you, when you revolve your life around Christ, growth will take place. Encouragement will happen. Strength will come. But if you keep yourself separated out, you will wither and die. Oh, let me encourage you today. If you don't see a group back there that, again, it's like, yeah, man, I want to be part of this, then just pray and say, all right, Lord, are you speaking to me? Have you been telling me? And is this the nudge that you're giving me today that's going to pull me over the finish line to say, all right, Pastor Joseph, Pastor Matt, Pastor Brian, I want to open up my home once every other week to do this. And it could be just simply open up your home and just watching what the Lord does from there. And then the Lord will bring a leader maybe to kind of help facilitate something. If you don't want to talk, you just want to make it your home. Hey, I'll open up my home, but I don't want to lead it. Okay, the Lord will provide the leader. But start somewhere. It's really hard to steer a parked car. So stick it in drive and let it move forward. And let's see what the Lord does with it. You're going to see descriptions of the groups there. And you can find actually more about them. The leaders will be there at those tables representing that you maybe are interested in. And I would encourage you today to sign up and join a group. We're coming out of this COVID, thank God. And we have been far too long hibernating in our homes. It's time to connect. It's time to get back into the game, if I can say that. It's time to get back into life. It's time to get back into getting to know one another and growing together. And so we felt like this was a good opportunity and a good time to do it. Would be this Sunday as we're coming into spring and the weather's warming up and the days are expanding. So I want to encourage you today to join a group. But you know, what we need to understand is our Sunday mornings are great. And this is fantastic. Man, let's gather together on Sunday mornings. Keep doing this. Let's just kind of add the life groups to it. Because you see, there's a whole lot more that you can experience as you do life together in these small fellowship groups. You can grow in Christ. You can discover more clearly His purpose for you. You can be strengthened and encouraged in times of struggle, need, or just be refreshed as you laugh. How many knows we need to laugh and have a good time? He's given us laughter, God has, for a reason. So we can have some good, clean fun with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I want to conclude with this. I'm so thankful that God has created a place for in His house where we can experience sanctuary. This is our sanctuary. It's a place where we can get away from the noise of the world, the condemnation of the world, the anger of the world, the agenda of the world, and refocus and redirect ourselves back to true north and keep our eyes, get our eyes fixed back on Him, where we can encourage one another. I'm so thankful that we're all in the same boat together here. We're all rowing in the same direction. We are all looking towards Jesus, shoulder to shoulder, saying, we love You, Jesus. And we want to serve You. We want to grow in You. We want to be effective for You. Here we are, Lord. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. That's what we're all saying. What a beautiful place it is to be. And I'm thankful also for that God has provided for us pastors, shepherds, those that are not driving like cattle, but leading carefully. You see, a cattle driver is someone who's back behind driving, but a shepherd actually gets in front of the flock and leads. And that's what our intention is to do. And God has given shepherds all throughout the world to lead the precious body of Christ. And I'm also thankful that He's given us ample pasture lands. If you're hungry, you know, the Bible says there's going to be a famine of God's word in the last days, but not here. It doesn't have to be here. Just because it's been prophesied, it doesn't mean that it's going to take place here. We can be intentional to say, wait a minute, I'm going to open up God's word. I'm going to revolve my life around God's word. I'm going to let the green pastures refresh me, feed me, strengthen me, and grow me. I'm going to let God's word be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I'm going to let others be part of that with me. And we're going to do life together in this pasture land that He's given us to grow in. So as we close out today, I want you to consider what you could do to press in further to a relationship with God and God's people in these pasture lands. You see, the sanctuary is here. We're always going to be here Sunday mornings, clockwork. We're always going to be here as leaders, loving on you and shepherding you. There's one step that we can't do for you, and that is to have you join into pasture lands. Don't let this be your only meal this week, right? You wouldn't eat once a week, would you? Nah, you'd be starving. Let's involve ourselves and engage in God's word with God's people, amen? I'm going to purposely end this service today early because it's going to give each of you an opportunity to talk to the leaders and to look at the different options and opportunities that are there for you to sign up or to say, I want to lead. And then let's take it from there. I'd like for you to stand this morning, if you will. Because as soon as we pray here this morning, it's time for us to go grazing. Yeah. We're going to go grazing. And by the way, for those of you who are here for the first time, we welcome you. We have a free gift for you in the back. Don't forget to receive that as you're leaving here today. I want to emphasize that our membership class is going to be a Zoom membership class, which means that simply we're going to do it online. It's going to be a week from tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So if you're interested in joining Faith Assembly, I need you to sign up for that just as soon as you're able so that we can make sure and get you that. Certainly next Sunday would be the cutoff. But if you'll sign up today, that would be appreciated. And also, May the 9th is our cutoff for the virtual missions trip. That's our deadline for that. That's 2 weeks from today. There's more information for that in the bulletin. You will not be disappointed if you join on that. Let's make that a small group. It's just a three-day small group. How's that? It's a Life Together group that you can sign up for. It's only 15 people that can be part of it. And it's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, May the 17th, 18th, and 19th, okay? You're going to be right here. Actually, you're going to be in your homes. And you're going to do it virtually. There's going to be the country of Oman, also Cairo, Egypt, and I think Algeria. You're going to visit those three countries in 3 days and never leave your house. And it will be an exciting, impactful opportunity for you. 6:30 in the morning until 9 a.m. It's only going to cost $50. And there's some interactive things that we need to let you be part of as well, but when you sign up, we'll tell you more about that. But if you're intrigued, if you'd like to know what God is doing in the area of missions, if you want to visit another country without ever leaving your house, sign up. May the 9th would be the deadline for that. And finally, as you know, Save a Baby campaign, that begins on May the 9th as well, which is Mother's Day. And we look forward to seeing what all God's going to do there. But let's bow our heads in prayer, if you will. And let's just ask the Lord to help us here. Lord, we want to thank you today for your word. We want to thank you that every part of your word is meaningful to us. It's applicable to us with these sanctuary cities, with the priests that were assigned to these other cities that were not part of the sanctuary cities. There were actually 48 more above and beyond the six sanctuary cities that were already listed. And then each of those cities that you put pastors in, you gave a pasture land to that extended out beyond the walls of the city. That is so 2021. That is so the church. That is so where we are today. And we thank you for your word that is just as contemporary and current as it was when it was first written, no matter how long ago, in different cultures, with different experiences. We can apply that today to our lives. We thank you for this sanctuary. We thank you for this place that we can gather. We thank you in this free country where we can declare you as Lord and Savior. We can worship you and rejoice in you however we see fit. We can say that we have victory in you. We can sing songs about how good you are and about how great you are. And we can take your word and apply it to our lives. We're free to do that in this nation. Thank you for sanctuary. Thank you for a place where we can be encouraged, where we can feel your peace, where we can be strengthened, where we can do life together in the four walls here. And tune out for even just a moment or two the noise of the world and refocus our eyes on you and off of the agenda that the enemy has for this world. Lord, we know that your word, your plans are going to prevail. We're reminded of that every time we see come together. Every time we look in your word, we're reminded that you are still in control. And today we come and we look around and see, hey, we're not alone. And there's a bunch of people that love you. There's a bunch of people that serve you. There's a bunch of people that are honoring you with their lives. I'm so encouraged by that. Lord, I thank you for bringing shepherds into the church of Jesus Christ that are carefully watching over. God, I pray that you would bring more shepherds into the fold. Lord God, that you'd bring more shepherds to lead flocks and let those that are shepherding now not drive like cattle, but lead like sheep. Oh God, let us as pastors love. Let us speak into our flocks, Lord God. I pray for churches right now across the face of this earth. Lord, those that are struggling, the pastors that are not rightly dividing the word, or they're not really keeping their hearts pure, or they've got agendas, they're not doing it well. God, help them to repent. Let us all, Lord God, be sobered as leaders, as pastors, as shepherds, to make sure that we absolutely keep our hearts pure before you, and that we lead well, that we preach the word well, that we shepherd well. But Lord, you've also raised up many leaders in the church, not just me behind this pulpit, not just the pastoral staff here, not just those that are part of other churches, but Lord, you've raised up leaders that are called and anointed to be shepherds and teachers and disciplers and mentors. God, I know you have many in this church. Raise us up to be the Life Together group leaders that you've called us to be, to speak into other people's lives, to rightly divide the word in our homes. And God, for those of us who maybe are here today and say, well, I got a home and it's open. I haven't really made it open, but today I'm making it open. Because this is a gift from God to me, and I want to use it for God's glory. I want it to be a vessel, a tool for God's glory, where people can be encouraged and ministered to. I want my home to be a pasture land. I want my place to be a place where people can come to be nourished and encouraged. Lord, maybe there's leaders here that want to lead. Maybe there's people that want to offer their homes. But Father, I pray that you'd help us all to take that next step into this journey that you've given us. And that is to do life together with one another. Lord, we all have 24 hours in a day. All of us have 7 days in a week. Help us to be careful to use them wisely. Lord, you've given us all blessings in so many ways. Help us to all use them to give them back to you in whatever way that we can. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you for the pasture lands. Now, with every eye closed and head bowed, if today maybe you've come into this place and maybe you haven't been in church in a long time, maybe you've never been in church, maybe you've come to church all the time, I don't know, but I don't know where your relationship is with the Lord, because coming to church isn't going to save you any more than, you've heard me say this before, living in a garage is going to make you a car. You've got to make it a personal relationship with Jesus. And there's maybe people here in this place, maybe you're even watching here today, and you're not in a vibrant, vital relationship with Jesus Christ. You believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You believe that he's God's son, but you've not committed your life to him. Or maybe you need to recommit your life to him. Today is the day. Now is the moment. I just want to invite you, with nobody looking around, no shame in this place, because this is a decision between you and the Lord. If you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I need to ask Jesus in my heart today. I want to pray and ask Jesus in my heart today. Is there anybody in this place at all? Yeah, I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just lift it up, put it right back down, and we'll pray together here in just a moment. Anybody else? Anybody at home that's watching? Anybody that's viewing this broadcast? Just lift up your hand. You may be the only one there, but just lift it up as a sign of surrender, because God sees your hand and he knows your heart. I want us to all pray this prayer out loud together, whether you raise your hand or not, and let's ask Jesus to come into our heart. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Won't you forgive me of all my sins? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I invite you into my heart to be the Lord of my life. I give you the reins of my life. Guide me from this day on. I am yours and you are mine. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray that the decision that was made here and those watching, that you would seal that decision with your Holy Spirit. Make what they determined in their heart come alive. And Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, come and invade and saturate and fill us with your power. All of us, Lord God, fill us afresh and new with your Holy Spirit. Empower us today. Refresh us today. Renew us today. Invigorate us today. And God, strengthen us to go from this place and to be the salt and light you've called us to be. As they were gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came and filled, may you do that again at this moment in each one of our lives. Fill us again, fresh and new, with all that you are. And Holy Spirit, we give you place in our lives. We love you and ask this, Jesus, in your name. And all God's people said, amen.